Hey, Adra, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm alive. So that's good.
You looking beautiful. Looking beautiful, ma'am.
Thank you. I take after someone I know named Sheena.
I can't with you. So first and foremost, what interested you in wanting to be a guest today?
Well, for one, I'm a big supporter of Acumen Mindset. So all I needed to know is there was an invitation. And then after I did it, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? But at the end of the day, I think of the input or the output of Acumen Mindset. So for me, it was a no-brainer, and then I overthought it. You know how I can get, but yeah, to me, I just felt like it was an important platform to share whatever what I'm being led to share. Who knows what that might be today? So
Well, we're
I'm with
excited.
you. I'm willing. I'm here.
Well, we're excited and we're honored for you to be here, and to take time to share your story with us. So, tell us a little about yourself, your childhood, your teenage years. Where are you from, born and raised? What would be like your 5-minute elevator speech for your life?
Me and elevator speeches, but I am originally from North Carolina. I was born in Smithfield, raised in Raleigh, North Carolina, had a short stint over there on Peyton Street. Then we moved to North Raleigh. No, but I am the second oldest of four children, three brothers. Oh yeah, I do have parents. Hello.
Yes, you do.
But as far as a little bit about me, I grew up a tomboy. I used to, I would pride myself on that. And I guess you can call me a mini boss, other than my mother. So kind of like a little mama. I think that when I think of my childhood, I have always been in like a business environment since I was like 11. And it's funny because I didn't appreciate it then. I know back in, what was that, 1990, whatever year that was, somebody was like, whose child is answering this phone? This sounds terrible. So I'm pretty sure back then my customer service was awful. But it helped, forge who I am today. These type of questions tell me any other time I don't have a problem talking about myself, but for some reason, these type of questions are not the easiest, but I will say that I am proud to be what I guess you consider a Southern woman. I'm somewhat Southern. I do like to walk barefoot. I'm one of those.
That's the best way, especially on, well, we used to walk on gravel and stuff like that. That's how tough we were, or quote unquote.
I'll walk on anything. So as long as it feel good, I'll walk on it. And then sometimes it don't feel good as long as I'm barefoot. But I think that's pretty much what I can think of off the top of my head.
When you say tomboy, do you think you were more so a tomboy because of you being the only girl with the three brothers, or it just came naturally?
Absolutely. I was trying to fit in with the masses, and I didn't really have, the style thing down, so it was just easier to be cool and, mix in with my brothers and my daddy. So I'm pretty sure that that was the major influence when it came to me always, wearing comfortable clothes, but I always like would admire what all the girls was wearing. I just never thought like, hey, why don't you just ask them where they get their clothes? I would just sit back in the cut like, oh, that's nice. Oh yeah, that's oh yeah. And my mama was all for it, but I just for some reason it just there was a disconnect. But yeah, I do all right now,
Wait, I have a question. Do you think that led you into your career path, being a tomboy and then not, understanding the fashion or understanding how girls, look the way they look, led you down the path to being an esthetician or in the esthetician world?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was obsessed with it. It's just I didn't so I may not have talked about it, but I would just watch and watch and watch. And then when I was in high school, I would just go to the girls and be like, oh my God, I think I love what you have on. They'd be like, oh my God, girl, yes, thank you. And I'd be like, yeah, that's great. Never having a conversation like what can I do? But I always admired it. And so then I found that what came natural was just being creative. So even back in school, I was the one maybe cutting up a shirt or putting rhinestones on a shirt. That would always show up, you know. Mm-hmm. So if we had a school rally, I was the only one that would bust out with the two, you know, class of 2000. I put the rhinestones on my face and it was like, well, who can you do that? I'm like, nah, this is exclusive, you know. so that always showed up. So I did have little spurts of, you know, beauty and fashion, but that was my way of expressing myself. So I would take a t-shirt and cut it up and put stones on it. And that was my way of being, you know, I guess what I would consider feminine or whatever, girly, I don't know.
It was your creative outlet and in your masculinity or masculine world that you were in sometimes with your brothers and your dad. Do you consider yourself a daddy's girl?
Yeah. So much so that I even have a cousin. He, for some reason, he thinks that I should have been his daughter. So to this day,
oh goodness,
I'm like a sir. In a little while, I'll be 40, and he's like, "Yeah, that's my girl. Send her on." And I'm like, "Send me where?"
Yeah.
But my mother, she is my friend at times. But no, seriously, she is. But my dad, yeah, that's my dude. That's, you know, we got pictures and you can tell I was just like, you know, with a lean with it. This is my dude right here. I'll take that. I'm a daddy's girl.
Oh, now what's your favorite quote or motto?
Oh, you already know. Well, I shouldn't say that, right? To interview.
No.
Excuse me. We can take that out. I would even say it just drives my spirit lately is that we are all vessels. And I say it different in a prayer, but that we're vessels and we're to be used by God. And you know, I used to apologize because I didn't want to seem like extra spiritual, but at this point I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. Once you realize that when you keep having multiple experiences and people are like, well, I needed to hear that, or you're just saying something, but in your mind, you're stepping back and you're like, this is what's coming out of my mouth at this moment is something I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, that quote being, it's a manifestation of that quote that, you know, we are here for God, to be a conduit for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me just rings true. And I think that if everyone understands that, then we can stop operating in the ego so that we don't have unrealistic expectations. You know what I'm saying? And then it's just, you know, so somebody's like, oh, that was amazing. I'm like, I understand. I got you because I know where it came from. It wasn't me.
Right.
So
right.
That to me, like, of course, we all have multiple quotes that we like, but this one just, I hold it dear and I take it into the new year and I'll take it with me. Hopefully for the rest of my life.
And say it one more time, just in case that someone may not have picked it up the first time you said it. Your favorite quote or motto right now is?
That we are vessels to be used by God.
And you did mention in there that basically now you've gotten to a point you don't care what other people think when you say certain things because of your spirituality, or maybe they take you as being too spiritual. What released you of that?
Man, I think that, so a couple things, but coming from a background where you are raised in the church, I think that a lot of us that come from a similar background that deals with being raised in the church, you're programmed to speak a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, it was just kind of like a flag you're waving. I'm going to talk about God so we can put those points on the board about religion and being good enough or being worthy or being Christian or whatever you want to call it. And so when you have to unlearn that type of behavior, I used to feel like, man, you know, me talking about God or saying God in every other sentence might get on this person's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But it just comes to a point where when you've had to fight for your life, when you've had to fight for your soul, when you've had to fight for your peace of mind, that I can't be concerned if that makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like being in love and you want to talk about that person all the time.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm like, well, for once God is getting the attention and the recognition that God deserves instead of it being something or other person. And so I am unlearning using that as a flag to say, hey, I'm close to being perfect. But also on the flip side, I am saying I'm unlearning apologizing for talking about it or mentioning God, you know. So that's where I am right now. And it's not in a negative or combative way, but it's just me speaking out now. Let me stop apologizing. So let me out loud undo this. I'm sorry for talking about God. Nope, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry about that, you know.
Yes.
That's where I am, and I'm gonna just rock with it.
You know what I find interesting in most of us, and you say the word unlearn, in order for us to start unlearning, there was an event that happened or something in our spirituality that was like a starting point to, let's say, the journey. Mm-hmm. What would you say was something that happened in your life that was like the boom, I need to start to unlearn this, let's say, religious constraint and really walk into my purpose of the spirituality? Did you have that type of awakening moment or experience?
I think I like to believe that God is very strategic. So there was an awakening, but it all was happening in steps and phases.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in like 2017, at some point I was, you know, having my struggles, which I wasn't really identifying, like anxiety and depression and all these type of things. And it was like, I would get to a place where I might have worked through it or it just passed.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it was just one of those moments where I hadn't quite learned my lesson, but it was just part of the journey,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense, where, you know, you have like I guess you'll call it a breakdown. And then once you're ready to come back outside and talk to people, you're like, yeah, God is good, girl. And you know, and at that point, I'm like, I'm gonna write a book and I'm gonna save the masses. And I'm like, when I look back, I'm like, you still hadn't learned your lesson because you were operating out of ego. And this is me talking to myself. You, Adra, I was operating out of ego because the first thing I thought about was, I feel better. Now I'm gonna go tell and announce to everyone that I feel better. And my goals or my ambitions from this point is, how can I tell the masses, which ultimately would be, how can I build a platform, which mm-hmm. ultimately goes back to, I don't know why I'm doing this, I'm gonna roll with it. But, and it goes back to ego.
Yes.
Because how, like, why am I thinking about writing a book at the moment I come out of this dark place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of sitting in, okay, I have peace, I have, you know, and I'm just grateful. And then people can recognize, we don't have to wave a flag when people can see it.
Right, right.
The light doesn't have anything on it, but it is the light. So mm-hmm. when you see the light, you see it. You don't have to make it, hello everyone, I have a light. Look to your left and look ahead of you. You're going to see a light coming from me.
Yes.
I appreciate it. All right. Have a good day. Like, you don't have to make an announcement. People just see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is you see a reflection in their eyes of what you look like to them. I'm like, okay, wow. But back, like I said, let me go back to 2017. I had, you know, a wrestle with depression or whatever. I really didn't know what it was at the time. And so when I was ready to, you know, come back out into the public, I feel like I was operating out of ego. Mm. And so fast forward, there was a situation which, you know, you were an integral part of. I really was just at my wit's end. I was just broken. I knew it. I was declining fast. And it was just a point. I think I was in the bed and let me calm down because I just feel like my throat, my voice is just rushing out.
Take
but anyway,
your time. Take your time.
I'm so excited. I mean, I'm sure that's what it is. But anyway, back in, yeah, was it 2000? What year is this? 2021?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yeah, so the end of 2019. I was just at a point where I'm like, my God, I cannot go on like this. I don't, my whole life, to every extent, I'm just done. Mm-hmm. Like, and so my soul, it wasn't on a platform. It wasn't at church. It wasn't talking to a friend. I just woke up out of my sleep, and I'm not crying. I'm sorry.
Take your time. I just woke up
out of my sleep, and I said, you know what? Mm-mm. I said, God, you don't have to help me, because I really cannot go on like this. I don't know what that help looks like, but you need to help me. I don't want to talk to anybody. Mm. I didn't know what it looked like, but I told him what I didn't want. And then mm-hmm. I also told God what I wanted. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it for that night, whatever night that was. I don't even remember. I just remember that it was so honest. It was so broken. It was so like, excuse me. It was so transparent, like everything that was just where I was in that moment.
Mm.
And I spoke out from my soul. It was my soul talking to God. And I was like, look, bro, it was not polite. It wasn't nasty, but it was like, listen,
yeah,
if this is going to happen or this is it.
Right, right.
So I can come stay with you. You know,
I
can't, since we can't get it right on earth. Like, I know, like, I really was disgusted, you know. And I started slowly but surely, I guess I started making decisions mm. about what I would entertain and just doing little things that my present self would thank me for.
Mm.
And I what really got the ball rolling is, you know, you and I got to talking one day, and he was just like, yeah, sound like you need to, you mm-hmm. know, participate in something other than what what you're doing. And fast forward, I took a medical leave. I was terrified, you know.
But you didn't scare.
My anxiety went from here to here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I just said, I was showing out. I was showing out, like, and for me, you know, knowing who I am, it was showing out for me. Mm-hmm. Other people, they weren't that bad, but on the inside, I was freaking out. Every time I called the representatives to go on leave, I'm like, oh my God, I'm saying all the wrong stuff. I'm like, this is self-sabotage. And but then when I look back, I know the people I talked to was like, oh, she definitely needs it. Cray, cray. Like, I'm sitting here like, I don't know. I'm shuffling in a bunch of papers as if they can see it. Like, I don't, it was a hot mess. Okay. But there was a point in time where I almost gave up because I could not take the weight. Mm. I was so sick of, waiting, but not knowing that during that process, it was stretching and pulling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in the condition for that. I was like, you know, God, I would keep praying. And you know how you just try to have faith and try to be mature and be like, I'm gonna go on about my day. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, hey, what you doing? Okay, so let's go back to those notes. I just don't think it's gonna work out because they had said, and it just don't make sense. And it was just like, girl, if you don't let this go, I'm like, I cannot. And at some point, I was just like, well, God, you know, if this don't work out, you know if I can handle it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this would either destroy me or I'll survive not being able to take time off and just focus on getting my health together. Mm-hmm. And it was the day before Christmas that I got the news, and I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, you know, it went through. And my mother said to me, she said, well, didn't you think it was going to go through? I was like, I mean, I did, but it was rough. But the crazy part of it is that, you know, you think that once you get the answer you were looking for, that the fight is over.
Yes.
And it was anything but that. It was not over. It had just begun. I thought that I was going to have peace after. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to be off for a few months or whatever. Not so. You know, everybody's at work. I'm left to myself and I'm sitting in my thoughts and I'm like, I don't know, even know what to do with myself. Like, and so that was hard because you feel like, well, this is not a vacation, but I didn't know what, I literally did not know what to do. Time was passing by slow and I'm like, okay, so I'm going to doctor's appointments. Speaking to, what did I have? Like a health coach and all these, you know, I had people surrounding me and I'm just like, well, it's not enough appointments to fill a day. For some reason, I thought that I was supposed to have doctor's appointments and just all kind of stuff lined up for every minute, every second of the day, or otherwise it'll be like, she's on vacation, living La Vida Loca.
Yeah.
That was anxiety sitting on my shoulder talking all this junk. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I wasted so much time, but it's okay because that was the battle of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wrestled with myself, but then I also found ways. I started learning about different herbs. I'm gonna tell you, during that journey, I would be at the vitamin store, GNC, or I don't know if I can say that. Yeah, the vitamin store. But and just like this one lady, she worked there and she just randomly was like helping me. All of a sudden she's like, I'm sorry. Give me a moment. You know, my sister's on the way. I'm struggling with anxiety. And I'm like, Now, mind you, when you're dealing with struggles like this, you are trying to keep it discreet.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to have someone that's supposed to be helping me with business, you know, she's just very transparent. She said it so calm and I'm looking at her like, oh my God, I could hug you right now. Mm-hmm. And that was God letting me know, like.
Hey loves, to hear and see the rest of this interview and much more, join us on Podia. Podia is a members only platform that provides a community environment and helping others to find their voice and navigate this thing called life. Our members gain full access to the entire guest interviews, self-help materials, and so much more. To sign up, please follow us on Instagram at Acumen Mindset, and in our bio, you will find the link. I can't wait to see you there. Namaste.